The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Tonight, on this Sunday night, December the 13th, 2015, we are almost at the end of the year. Well, we pretty much are at the end of the year, wouldn't you say, Aja?
Yes.
Yeah, it's December.
Yes, I would say so.
They only have, about 2 more weekends for Christmas shopping, something like that?
I think one more Saturday.
One more Saturday. You have one more Saturday to get your shopping in for all your little white elephant gifts for those office parties and all those gifts and Xboxes for the children and whatnot. So, anywho, we are here tonight, Sunday night, and we are looking ahead going into the new year. So, what I want to know tonight from people is, what's your game changer plan for 2016? You know how people always come up with New Year's resolutions, habits that they will stop, that they will break, new habits or rituals that they will adopt. So we want to hear from you. Have you decided to sit down yet? Don't wait until January after you've been drunk all January, New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day hanging over and then trying to think of something. No, you need to wake up January the 1st, ready to hit the pavement, going with rocks kicking from your feet, fire on your heels, blazing those trails of changing your life. What are you going to do different? It doesn't have to be anything extremely major, like, oh, I'm going to start a business, or oh, I'm going to go back to school. It could be anything, something small. Well, I wouldn't even say small, but just something like, I am going to learn how to quilt. I will learn how to sew, or I will take
foreign
a
language.
I will learn a foreign language. I will release 10 pounds of dead weight. I will drop somebody that's a dead weight. I mean, what is it? What's your... Yes, I know a lot of people probably have that in mind, but it's like, what is your game changer? And the whole idea is to not just speak on it tonight and maybe another day or so, but actually we want to bring this out, unfold this as a series. 2016, what's your game changer plan? What's your strategy? What's your idea? What are you going to do? And then keep us abreast of how you are following through with that. We want to know, so think about it. We know some people may need to still think about it, contemplate and marinate over your ideas, but you can call in to 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound and press star 61 if you would like to speak. And we want to hear. We also have Delta that will join us. And for those of you that have a question for Delta Cougar to answer, it can be about money, relationships, dating, career questions, love, sex, etc. You can send those letters to Delta Cougar. And the email is thelotusplaceradio@gmail.com. So that's thelotusplaceradio@gmail.com. DeltaCougars.com, and Delta Cougar can answer your questions. And tonight, I'm very excited to bring in a new health piece, Mind, Body, and Spirit by Mother Zola. She'll be sharing a health tip with us. So I'm looking forward to that. Mother Zola.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm looking forward to your health tip tonight. We all always need those. I know
always.
I do. I'm taking always. On a new healthy lifestyle. Yes. And I'll share a smoothie recipe from, that was a cute little class that you found on Udemy with the smoothie.
Right. I love it. I love it.
Nice
free
smoothie.
Free. Yeah, and it's free. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You that
so are you ready
Android
for my
phone.
Health tip?
Oh, yes. Come on.
All
with
right.
It.
Okay. So these are health tips from Mother Zola. So periodically here on Lotus Place, we will share with you some quick health tips, many of which involve many products that you may already have in your home in your cabinet right now. So today our topic is the spice turmeric, and that's T as in Tom, U-M-E-R-I-C, turmeric. So I remember growing up, I loved to hang around my mom as she cooked. In fact, I just loved to hang around her always because she was so spectacular to me. And she was one of those moms with the complete spice rack, you know, with like 3 dozen different spices in this little spin thing that turns around, you know. But she only used about a handful of them, of her favorite ones. The others just sit up there. But I remember seeing turmeric in those spices that she had. But I don't remember, you know, her using them much. So I didn't realize the many uses or health benefits of turmeric until I moved here to Houston, where there's a large population of Indians, people of Indian culture. So turmeric, in the Indian stores, turmeric came in large quantities, in huge packages, at a low, low price. I mean, the low, low. So I figured, okay, this must be a staple, you know. Large quantities, doesn't cost much. And Indians are generally very health conscious in their diets and what they eat, what they put into their system. So I figured, okay, this must be some good stuff. So I've been using it. Now, let me give you some information about it. It's a spice that originates in South and Southeast Asia. It's a key ingredient in Persian recipes, Asian recipes, and, of course, Indian culture uses it lavishly, mainly for its medicinal purposes, okay, as well as its flavoring and coloring, because it has a real deep yellow color. And the makeup of turmeric protects food from the sunlight, so that's something in itself. So some dishes that you can use the turmeric, some sweet dishes, you can use it in all your vegetable dishes. I use it in all my vegetable dishes. Meat dishes, and because it has a strong yellow coloring, you could use it to give your coloring to your salad dressings, your cheeses. It's been used to give coloring to margarine and butter, but you have to be careful because it does stain quickly. If you waste it on your counter and you go to grab a towel, it's going to stain the counter and the towel. I usually use a paper towel and I get it up quickly, but you can get it up with Ajax or any kind of bleach cleanser. Okay, so it has a savory flavor, and topically on your skin, turmeric stops profuse bleeding and it heals sores. So, for example, I had thrown away some glass, and I put it in the trash bag, and I really forgot to tell my daughter, and she took it out, and it scraped against her leg. Blood was shooting everywhere because it was a fast, deep cut. We put some turmeric on there, packed it on there, it stopped immediately, and it healed the cut very well. So it's also a good cleanser for your system, which is the main reason why the Indian culture uses it in practically everything, and I do too now. So here's a quick and delicious morning pineapple cleanser that will give you an energy boost in the morning, and it'll boost your metabolism. And it's really quick, very simple. It's one can of pineapple juice. I use Dole, not concentrate, not from concentrate, it just tastes better. About a half teaspoon of turmeric, about a fourth teaspoon of cayenne, it warms your body and gets it going, a fourth teaspoon of cinnamon, and cinnamon, by the way, has lots of health benefits too. We'll share that with you later. A pinch of nutmeg, which is optional. I just kind of added that myself because I love the two of them together. And last but not least, a fourth teaspoon of black pepper. Now, black pepper is an accelerant. In other words, when you mix it with all the other things, it speeds the nutrients to your organs faster. So that's why we add black pepper. So you blend and serve. You blend and serve. So that's really quick. Now, currently, here's some information on research and the study of turmeric. They're studying it now in the labs for the treatment of diseases such as kidney and cardiovascular disease, arthritis, cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, and several other diseases. Now, for my faith and for the Indian culture, it's a really, I use it as a good facial, you know, just mix turmeric and honey to a paste, and you leave it on your face, apply it on your face, and you lick it, it tastes good too, but, you know, 60% of whatever you put on your body does go on your skin, so it's good to know that you can eat it as well. So it gives your face a healthy glow, and then the honey tightens your skin, so it's firming, and then it leaves it soft. And finally, in the Indian culture, here's something very interesting, and last I'll give you about turmeric. It's used in the Indian culture in their marriage ceremony. It's very important. The facial mention that I just gave you above is performed on both partners by friends of theirs before the vows are taken. And that's why it's so abundant here and not costly. So, there you have it. The ins and outs of turmeric in your body and out.
Wow, turmeric. So you can just sprinkle a little in your food. That's what I normally do, right?
Yeah, just sprinkle it to taste. You know, if you put it with rice, it's going to give your rice a nice yellow coloring as well as the savory flavor, you know?
Yeah. I would say just maybe like a few little pinches of turmeric.
Yeah, to get
because
used to it.
Really, right. It will certainly give your food a mustard coloring. So, for the most part, you know, some of it. But it's just so good. Oh, and it's important to, you have to remember to mix it with some type of oil for the full benefits of turmeric, too. Like a coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
Olive oil.
Virgin olive oil, cold press. I prefer.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing the benefits of turmeric.
You are
certainly
welcome.
Pick up your bag of turmeric, people. Let's bring
it. I don't run out of it. I keep it always.
Always, yes, yes. And I need that turmeric facial too. It gives you that nice, beautiful glow.
It does. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Indian culture pay a lot for it. They go to the salon and get it done. They pay a nice little amount of money for it to have that done.
Beauty. You know, and see, that's the whole thing, really, though. The Japanese, let's see, Indian and African-American men and women, we really do value our appearance. We spend tons of money. Tons of money. I've noticed that, yes. We spend tons of money on beauty, hair, facials, nails, things of that nature. So we do pride ourselves. That's why I don't always want to come down on brothers and sisters. You know how people say things like, oh, they live in a project, but they have a 60-inch screen TV, or she's always going to have her nails and hair.
Right.
Well, just because she lives in the projects does not mean she does not want to keep herself looking well. And that's something that Delta Cougar can attest to. And we can just bring you on in with those hot news topics. Delta, are you there with us tonight?
Yes,
Namaste,
I'm most certainly.
Delta Cougar. Namaste.
Yeah, Delta.
How yeah, Delta Cougars ran. They go, they ran. They come out the cat
box. Run, run, run. Run, I hear your motor going.
How everybody doing tonight?
I'm
wonderful. Oh,
wonderful.
We got some hot topics, y'all. Gonna make you go, oh my God, what is this?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, we got some hot ones.
Well, all right.
Our hot topics is, one of them is this young. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, this young, I keep getting some ticks. That's why I was saying, can you hear me? We have this young black boy that was 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
He went to rape somebody. He wanted him some nookie nookie. Yeah. And he didn't care how he was going to get it. And he went to this lady's house.
Uh-huh.
And he went to one of these sisters' hood rat house. And he knocked on the door. And I guess he pretended like he needed to use the phone or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady turned her back. And when the lady turned her back, he pushed his way into her house. And they began to tussle and everything. And he pushed his tongue in the woman's mouth. And when he pushed his tongue in her mouth, she left onto his tongue. And didn't let go.
Oh, wow.
And he bit his whole tongue out of his mouth.
Well, all right now. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you this, Delta. Did you say that he was trying to rape her? What happened now?
Let me back up. The story says that a young man was walking through the neighborhood and saw this woman at her house. And he pretended like his car was broken down.
Oh,
he asked the lady, can he use the phone? When the lady turned her back to him to walk back into the house, he pushed the lady and began to try to rape her. And he took his tongue and stuck it in her mouth. And he had a knife or a gun. I can't remember which one, but he did have a weapon. And she bit down on his tongue and didn't let go. She bit his tongue clean out of his mouth. She separated his tongue all the way.
Good for
her. And they had to sew his tongue back on. And when they sewed it back on, he was arrested for sexual assault. So now he won't be able to keep that tongue and do no work with it like he needs to do with it.
He was wrong for that. No.
He sure was. Then we got another hot topic. Now, we have been taught all our life in the black community to take care of our parents. You know, we have just been taught you do not go and stick your parents in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of your parents.
Drink you some coffee, Delta.
Well, this lady had three kids. And what happened was the kids had worked and accumulated a little money. And I guess the mother helped them through the years. So the mother was 90 years old. They decided, the three kids in China, this happened in China, that they wasn't, but it made the news. That's why I'm talking about it. They decided that they was not going to take care of their mother anymore. They said that they were spending up all their life saving, taking care of their mother and feeding her. And they was not going to do it anymore. They put their mother in a room, and the mother had been in there for months and months and months and months. And they decided that they were going to starve their mother to death. These three kids, grown kids, successful kids, educated kids, decided they was tired of wasting, this is what they told the police, that they was tired of wasting their money on their mother to take care of her and feed her. And they was giving the mother water and bread. And the mother, somebody knew that they was misusing the mother. So the neighbor called the police, and the police went in there and found the lady. And the lady didn't weigh no more than 90 pounds. She was skin and bones. They put a picture of her in the paper. If you see it, it would just break your heart that children can decide that they was not gonna work and take care of their mother and spend their life savings. They said they wasn't gonna do it. So they came up with a plan to starve their mother to death. And when the police opened the door, the police said the first thing the lady asked her, can you please, with a soft, rally voice, can you please give me something to eat? Can you please give me? And the pictures that they have on the, it's on my Facebook page. Go to Dorothy Dunning, D-U-N-N-I-N-G, and look at my Facebook page and look at the little lady. It will break your heart to see how poor her little arms are. But the most saddest part of all is children getting together. Three of them, not one of them decided, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. But all three of them got together, and they decided that they wanted to kill her.
What?
By starving her to death, yeah. Because they was tired of taking their wealth and money to take care of their mother.
Oh, well.
Now, you can't get no crazier than that. That is so sad. Yeah. Now, can I go to my next one? My next one is, this one happened overseas in Europe, where these three young black men, and it's all on Facebook page, went into the Apple store. And the young men, they was dressed in their uniforms and their school uniforms, and they went in the Apple store to look at some phones. I guess they sell phones and all other type of equipment. And the white people decided that they did not want the three black boys in the store. And they walked up to three black boys and told them that, and the boys recorded it on their phone. And they walked up to the three young black men and told them they didn't want them in the store because the people said they looked like they were steal. And the boy asked him again to make sure he was hearing him. And the man repeated it, yes, y'all look like y'all gonna steal something from the store. They escorted them out of the store. They wasn't being rude. They wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. It just, the people that run the store did not want them there. And if you see the young men, they are dressed very nice. They're not loud. They're not belligerent. They're not doing anything.
It has nothing to do with the way they look now. It's their skin tone. Security.
And they put them out the store. Mm-hmm. And so they went to school and told the principal about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal got together and took them back to the store and made them apologize to the three young men. But not only that, the story has went viral. And I took it up on myself to call the Apple store to tell them that how much I didn't appreciate them being profiled. And when we see unjust, we got to speak about it. And if we don't, we just as guilty. Okay, my next story is where this girl. Oh, wait a minute, not this one. Let me give you this one. The next story is about the Army Academy School in South Carolina, where the young men, it was seven of them, decided to sing Christmas carols in the KK uniform. And this is a government-run Army Academy school.
Okay.
And they decided that they're going to sing Christmas songs KKK style.
Oh, whoa, my goodness.
And
KKK style, okay.
And they posted it on Facebook. But when somebody told the school about it, the Army school, the Army expelled all of them and put them off campus. But I wonder what they did to the teacher, because it looked like they had a teacher in the video singing along with them and walking right there like it was nothing. Something is going on around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Where black folks are not able to look like to walk freely,
mm-hmm.
being pursued, being afraid, with all this rhetoric.
Yeah.
That's
how we're being portrayed in the media.
Mm-hmm. Then
as
this
if
is
we
my,
are the villain.
That is correct. You're absolutely correct.
No crime needs to be committed.
And if
no crime is you walking down the street. Exactly.
Crime
is your presence.
Oh, and wait a minute, let me tell you about a story here too. Can I give two more? And then I promise this will be it.
I'll tell you what, Delta. Hold on, Delta.
Okay.
Since we only have just a couple of more minutes before break, how about we transition into Aja, Mother Zola, reading a poem for us to take us into break, and then we'll come
okay,
back.
Okay.
And
that,
that way you'll have more time. Yeah,
okay.
To
thank
hot
you.
Topics.
Thank you.
And we can maybe go into a conversation around some of your hot topics and then move into the topics for the night. How about that?
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Black Rose.
Great. Okay. And let's see. So, Mother Zola.
Yes,
would you like
I'm
to
here.
Share the poem?
Great. Yes. This poem is called Your Life, Your Train. Your life is your train. You are the conductor and a passenger. How your train moves and where it ends up is totally up to you. Your talents and abilities, dreams and goals are your tickets. Now don't go get excited just because you have a ticket.
Oh.
If you do not use it, you won't go anywhere. Opportunities are stations along the way. If you are not at the station on time, you will be left standing at the station with all the other people who merely have tickets. The train will not wait for you. You cannot hold the train for people you know who are late. You cannot stop the train at every station to make sure everybody who wants to ride is on the train. Keep your train well fueled, keep it clean, and be on the lookout for nicks and cracks in the tracks. And above all, be sure you don't run over people.
Ugh.
Move out at a steady pace, slow but sure. If you are a conscientious and alert conductor, your train will never take a wrong turn. And if it does, it will always get back on track. It's your train.
It's your train.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's your train. So drive
your
train.
Train.
Don't try to drive anybody else's train.
Right. And don't try to get everybody to get on your train. They're not ready. If they're not ready, they're not ready.
They're not ready. Let's take a quick break. We're ready for a break, and then we'll be right back with Delta.
Thank you, Mother Zola. I like this train.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back, and we're here at the Lotus Place talking about your 2016 game changer plan. What's your strategy to changing and becoming a more amazing version of yourself? I want to hear from you two ladies tonight before we conclude. What do you think? What are you going to do differently in 2016? What are you going to pursue in 2016? What's your goal? What's a goal or some goals? Think about it as we talk tonight. Delta, I think we do have a letter for you to answer tonight as well, but you were going to pick back up with...
I just have two more hot topics and I'll be through. Well, we know in January the 1st in 2016, if you take a child in McDonald's and if that child is fat and obese...
This is truth.
You got to listen. So I posted on my Facebook page. This is a true story. If your child is fat and obese, I'm going to post it and I'll send it to y'all. Starting January the 1st in 2016, if you take your child into McDonald's and if your child is obese and fat, McDonald's will not serve your child.
Oh, after they made everybody fat off them damn.
I'm telling you. After they are the reason they are fat.
That damn McDonald's McDance stuff that don't even it's non biodegradable. The shit don't break down. And I mean, people had to petition and lobby for McDonald's to stop selling them damn good ass fries that had that trans fat in it that was killing everybody, giving them cancer.
Exactly.
With those big ass, I think McDonald's was like the first one that came out with those damn 32 ounce drinks and all of that crap. They even started making the
supersize.
Yeah, supersize. You want to supersize your fries? Yeah, as good as these damn fries are. And now they're not a lot. McDonald's got a lot of nerve, but you know what? See, McDonald's, I think this is the first year whereas McDonald's has had to close down like a number of stores. They've never had to like close down as many stores or I think even have to close down a store ever.
A store,
period. History. And so, Dan, you're telling me that is this in a particular state like California?
This is true. This is true.
Nationwide? But is it nationwide McDonald's or just in a certain state? Do we know that?
It didn't say. It just said it's an article, and I'll put it on my Facebook page. When I seen it, I couldn't believe it. I went back again and checked it. And it's really true.
McDonald's. What? Go ahead, Dale.
Starting January the 1st, 2016, if you bring a child into McDonald's, and if you order stuff that's fattening and that's not good for your child.
Why is it on the menu?
Okay.
Crazy.
Oh,
McDonald's
God.
McDonald's would not serve your child.
This is the truth. Lord.
Starting January the 1st, 2016. So we're gonna see how that's gonna play out.
And
then we're gonna have a line of lawsuits.
Yeah, I don't even think that they could do that because, I mean, obesity is relative based on the culture, and then McDonald's, there's no way they can do that. That's probably one of those articles somebody put up.
Who knows? You remember that newspaper? That news channel 7 or channel 8 I showed you with all the news stories. Go right on there. It's on there. And it said it takes place January the 16th. January 1st.
All right. Hold on. Let me share something with you. I've kind of gone online. And they say that, is this true or is this false? You know, because sometimes, newspapers just to get their customers they will quote something and they'll have to go back and remove it. But they've gotten it out there. So this paper, what is it? Daily Buzz, they published this, and McDonald's said that they did not make that statement. They are going to take some steps to create a healthier menu, but they did not put out anything about them not serving children that are obese. The newspaper falsely put that in there. So the newspaper had to do a disclaimer page saying that, you know, it was meant for entertainment purposes only. Can you believe they could just do that? They put it in the paper and they said, well, you know, they didn't really say that. It was really for entertainment purposes only.
Maybe one of the McDonald's people was caught saying something like that and they had to walk it back. You know how these crazy people are.
And see, they said that there would be a lot of lawsuits for discriminating against obese people. Mm-hmm. If McDonald's did do that, they would lose millions of dollars, you know, fighting these cases, you know, so they couldn't do that.
How can they say who's fat and who's not?
And well, they're going to weigh them when they walk in the door.
Go ahead, Delta.
And this is the last one. This is the last hot topic. In my hometown, In Hattiesburg, Mississippi, it's like an hour and 15 minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
There was two police killing a while back. I think it was about maybe 4 or 5 months ago, where this black boy was alleged, him and his brother, it was all over the news, that him and his brother supposed to have been killed, the policeman. And what happened is, the young man, one of the brothers, they let go, and the other brother, he was in jail. He was waiting for his trial, because they said he killed the police, but the boy said he didn't do it. Do you not know what happened just last night, overnight? Breaking news story that the young man hurt himself in his jail cell and he wasn't breathing, and time they got him to the hospital, he's supposed to die, but from his own cell. Now you mean to tell me you got him, you're supposed to have him under 24-hour surveillance, and all of a sudden he gonna die in the jail cell?
Very peculiar, very peculiar.
Very, very peculiar.
And that's there with, you said in Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
We need to keep an eye on that one, Delta. Will you please keep us apprised of
Yes, breaking news stories. It's been all on the TV today. It's everywhere. All of a sudden, they're going to find him in the cell.
Yeah.
Saying he was unresponsive, not breathing, like he undone something to himself. We know what happened to him.
Certainly.
But then also, let me bring this up, and then I promise this is it, y'all.
You're fine. That's okay, Dad.
You know, the police that raped the 13 black women, he was found guilty. Crying.
Yeah.
Did you not see how he was crying and going on and just crying and crying? He really thought that he was home free.
He was home free. He was in shock. I was like, what?
Because those were poor black women.
What happened?
And he thought that he could get away with it.
Yes, they were just black women. What? I got to pay for that? That's how they really feel.
And it was awful. And then the grandmother that he, the last lady that he raped, she was 57, I think. And she said she have no criminal record, never been arrested or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled her over for, she was supposed to be swerving a little bit. And
so
he pulled her over and raped her. And she said it made him give her R6. And she said she begged and pleaded with him not to do it. But they believe it's more than 13 women. Other women, it's too shame to come forth.
Oh, yeah. You know that.
Too shame, too afraid.
I would say stop at 13.
Don't want their names in the media.
Yes, exactly.
Don't want to risk.
Married.
Yes, anything. They may have changed their lives and don't want to even be connected to that, or they just don't want to be connected to that.
I don't want to be reminded of it.
Now, would the city be, the city is held liable for that, ain't it?
For what?
For him raping them.
Well, since he was on duty when he committed those acts, the criminal acts, I don't know, it seems like maybe some kind of way.
Well,
some...
Crump got involved with all the
He wants a piece of the pie.
Oh my
goodness, like he's the only black lawyer.
No, but the grandmother who brought him down, she reached out to Crump.
I know, they always do.
She brought him, but the grandmother who brought him down, now she can, I hate to say it, now she can get her set of teeth in the front. She didn't.
They'll give you a little quick $500 or something, or $1,000, whatever will blink their eye. Now do as I say. Say as I say. Say exactly what I say from now on, okay? Just sign right here. We're gonna get you justice.
Interesting. Okay. So Daniel, what's his name? Holtzclaw. He turned 29 on Thursday when he faced 36 charges in total. And so he's been convicted of raping and sexually assaulting at least 13 black women. Because at one time it was like 15, then it dwindled down to 14, it seems like. Right before the trial, that's when the number 13 was floated around. You know, number 13, you know how significant that number is.
I'm watching you.
The jury found him guilty of 18 of the charges, so they cut it down to half, including 4 of the 6 counts of first-degree rape.
But I don't think he was charged either. I don't think he was charged for raping all the women. I think they only charged him for raping 8.
Okay.
From my understanding, I think it's just 8 women.
Okay. For each of those charges, the jury recommended a sentence of 30 years. The other charges against him range from indecent exposure to sexual battery and forcible oral rape. Okay.
Oh.
So there are different charges. Somebody's rattling and moving around just erratically, and we hear it all. Jurors deliberated for 4 days over the extensive indictment before rendering their verdict. The 13 women who brought allegations against him shared their stories. His predatory behavior. He would use his status as a police officer to coerce his victims, Delta and Mother Zola. And by allegedly focusing on poor black women with criminal records, Holtzclaw kept himself from being caught until he met J.L., a black woman who was just passing through the neighborhood he patrolled. See, not only is this individual stopping women who fit a profile of members of our society who are confronted rightly or wrongly by police officers all the time, said the Oklahoma prosecutor, Geiger, he identifies a vulnerable society that without exception, except one,
have an attitude for what good is it going to do? He's a police officer.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Believe me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What's good? What it do?
Rape is used, it's about a power mechanism. It's about having mm-hmm. that power and overpowering someone to try to find a defenseless person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Well, Delta, those were some,
well, you know what?
And blowing hot topics as always. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The saddest part of all is he knew that they had a record. And he took advantage of them. They mm-hmm. used their record against them. But just because that's what the lawyer was trying to do, take the lawyer that he had, he was trying to discredit every last one of them on their record. If you send a person to jail and they go do their time, their record or nothing should not be held against them. If they all went and did their time and they hadn't been in any more trouble, you shouldn't bring that up.
Wow.
You should leave it alone. And that's how he did what he did. It's because he was holding that over their head. And it's so sad. That is so sad.
It really is.
But don't you know, somebody know that this man had to been doing this?
They knew.
They knew that this man had to been doing this. This couldn't
somebody
just happen
knew.
Like this. Somebody had to know that this was going on.
Sure.
Somebody, sure. I mean, and everybody know. The people talk in the neighborhood.
And
so
you know what? That may not be even the first time that it's been reported. It's just been thrown under the paperwork.
But this particular time. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
They
but
knew
how
to
how
fight.
They got him. This is how they got him. And I don't mean to cut you off because I watched the news and how they got him. This particular woman, where everybody else was afraid, this particular woman wouldn't back down. The grandmother would not back down. She, the minute he got through raping her, she went and doing everything that he did to her. Immediately, she went straight to the hospital. And the hospital did a rape kit on her.
Mm-hmm.
And got all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it snowballed. And once it got out that he had been alleged for doing this, that's when all the other women came for.
Mm-hmm. They had his DNA.
They had his DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am so thankful that those women had the strength and the courage to come forward.
Yes, it's a hard thing to do.
Testimony.
And another thing, Black Rose, think about this. There was no national outcry on any media about this story.
Yeah, well, all the women's groups.
Yeah. And the men groups.
None of them.
And I like what the
17-year-old girl said. It's when the lawyer tried to trap her up. She was 17, and she said he tried to use something against her. I forgot what he was trying to use, and she gave a perfect answer.
Mm.
She said, "How are you gonna call the police on the police?"
Oh!
And that startled him. He was calling God.
I know it did.
How are you gonna call? And they repeated that story. What the young lady said on when they began to talk about it, they kept repeating her statement. How are you gonna call the police on the police?
Hmm. No way you can answer that question.
And it's sad.
It's so sad. They come into our community. Now you imagine you going around raping. Imagine the ones going around planting evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And shooting people in the back and thinking it's okay.
Well, this one got caught. This one got caught by the right person.
It takes one person not to back down.
Mm-hmm.
It takes one person to keep a, whatever you believe in, you got to keep a fighting for it. My granddaughter asked me a question the other day, and she's 12, and she said, Grandmama, she said, are you still fighting for Princess and Dorothy? I said, I'm doing everything I know to do. Something you believe in, where my granddaughters was taken, I don't care how long it takes, you got to continue to fight for what you believe in, no matter how long it takes. No matter how long it goes out,
never give up.
You continue to fight.
And you know what? Thank you, Delta. That's a great segue into going into the topic for tonight. What's your game changer? What are you going to do differently in 2016? I can start out and share one thing that I'm going to do, one element of my life that I will certainly change, and I am starting to work on it as of tomorrow, mañana. Changing my food combinations, the way that I combine food and what I eat, Delta and Mother Zola. And I am also going to take time to really focus on a scheduled meditation time and walking. Adding more time to my walking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And probably sign up for Aja's, Mother Zola's, Heal with Nature course. Nature with the trees and all of that, meditation with the trees.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got another good hot topic on that one. I found on this white man was out. This a true story.
Okay, this is a good story.
Well, he was having sex with the tree.
That's not a good story.
How was he having sex with the tree, Delta? Wait a minute. How was he having sex with the tree? Where was he putting it in the tree? I don't get it.
This white gentleman was walking through the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he saw a tree. And the tree had is truth. I'm not going to my Facebook.
That's anymore. The way you said, and he saw a tree.
He saw a tree, and the tree had a hole in it. It had like a hole in it.
Oh,
and he
goodness.
Took his penis and stuck it into the tree. And was
he
having
pay dearly for that.
Having sex with the tree, and his penis got stuck in the tree.
Yep,
and he was screaming.
Mother Nature got him.
And he was screaming and hollering out, and somebody ran to his aid, and he was stuck inside the tree. They couldn't get him loose, and they had to call the police and ambulance. And his reply was, I'll send it to you. And his reply was, they asked him, this is a true story, they asked him, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he was just walking. He had nothing else to do. He was doing a nature walk. And he wanted to try it. And he had nothing else to do.
He had nothing else
to
do. And so he wanted to stick his thing in a tree.
Mm-hmm. I bet that tree just closed that hole on him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if it just suddenly came alive and closed it, just clamped down on him.
Yes, because you know what? That's just sick. That's sick, and that's perverted. And I just, in response to that story, I have to say, just say no. just say no to drugs. Just don't do it. Leave them alone.
It's not for you.
Not for you. Mm-mm. Not for you.
It's not for you. Not for you. I know you hear good things about it, but it's not for you.
Dang, Delta. That's a crazy one right there. Wow.
And my new thing is going in the new year. My new thing is going in the new year.
Okay.
I have back problems, and I would love to try my best to eat healthy and get off 30 pounds to ease up, you know, off of my back and my leg, because I have had a back surgery. If I could just eat right, get my mind in shape to eat right, and work out a little bit, and do a little walking.
And you said also, you used to walk.
I used to walk before I had the back surgery. I used walk 12 miles at least 3 to 4 times a week. I would do 12 miles a day, and that would average I went every day doing it, just about. And I kind of got a little slack, and most of all, my back is kind of hurt. But when my back doing pretty good, I get a little walking in. So I really would like to, you know, try to be more conscious of my body, not only my body, my mind, naturally and spiritually. And focus, help focus on grandchildren more. I love trying to take care of them, but like making sure they fall on the right path.
You know what, Delta? You know what I could see? You know what I could see you having and really taking it to another level that would really not only attract but assist a lot of other grandmothers that are caring for their children. I could see you writing a blog about that, like just blogging, like how was your day with grandchildren. That would give a lot of grandmothers an outlet, like at the end of the day, let me go on and read Delta's blog about her and her grandchildren, you know, and and then the other grandmothers can leave comments, and each person can share like tips, like, oh, well, this is what you can do, you know, for that. Oh, well, you live in this city, well, this is something, a little outing that you can do with the children, or blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, like a granny's blog, a grandma's blog,
yeah,
or whatever.
Grandma's blog.
Oh, I think that would be so cute because so many grandparents are taking care of children. Let's take a quick break. And then we'll come back and talk about 2016, your game changer plan. We'll be right back.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And you are listening to the Lotus Place Radio. You can call in and share your thoughts and your comments. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, press pound. If you would like to share your thoughts and or offer a comment, just press star 61. Let me see if I can share this quickly. This is Dr. Neely.
We go and get weaves and whatnot for no apparent reason. Spend big money hour after hour, hour. And what message is that supposed to be sending? See, when you do things with your hair, you're sending a message. Now, black people, we just do things. We don't have a reason for doing anything that we do. Except, well, we'll say it's a, if someone asks us, we say it's a style. A style for what? You know, even styles have purposes. So what are you doing? What are you spending all this time for? I mean, you know, and they even call it an industry. What's industrious about it? I mean, it's not producing anything. It's not putting food on the table, anything. All it's doing is greasing up the pillows. And it's not anything new. You know, the white supremacists have always said, well, you know, don't let black people try to put anything in their heads, but have them worrying about their hair all the time. Make that a priority. Call it a hair industry. And, we'll even fund a few of them, I mean, you know, and make them famous. And allow them to become famous, fooling with black people's hair. Because, you know, hair is just hair. Like fingernails and whatnot. If you just want to sit around and polish them all day, look at them, hold them up to the mirror, you know, and can't touch anything on a kind of, your fingernails might, you know, might lose their sheen or something. So therefore you can't do anything. I mean, you can't do anything with your hands. You know, it's like wearing handcuffs now. What kind of, you're going to ruin your fingernails. So you think they'll go for this? No, black people will go for anything. Anything that we throw on them, they'll go for it. They'll grab it in a minute. Particularly if it doesn't make, that's where their minds work. They're wired that way. They're born that way. They can't think outside of that.
Listen, man. So, Aja, well, we all heard your thoughts. I was going to ask. What are your thoughts? We all heard Aja's thoughts. You're saying that it was all negative. Yeah, it was all negative because it was, I think it was negative because it was an observation of a negative aspect of some of our personalities. So
true,
I can agree with you in that sense.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with a woman trying to fix her hair however she want to do it. If she want to wear it nappy, she want to wear it curly, she want to wear it straight.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with it. And if you want to spend money on your hair, I see nothing wrong with it. If you want to shave your head, I see nothing wrong with it. It's whatever makes you happy. And whatever turn your man on, that's what you do to turn your man on. Now, he may not want no hair. He may want something else. But some men's want hair. Some men's want it a certain kind of way. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Long as you not harming anyone else with your hair. And if you want to feel good about yourself, because let me tell you one thing. When I put my weave on my head, I put it on to make me look sexy.
You sound like my dear.
I put my weave on.
Okay,
I put my weave on to make me look sexy. I put my weave on to make me feel good about myself. This is what I feel when I have raised my children and raised my grandchildren. If I want to go down and buy me some $100 weave, that's my priority. I may not be saying the word quite right, but that's my business. If I want to spend $100 on my
weave. Get it.
And let me tell you something. And you take the men's, the hot or the loudest, tell me they don't want no weed on your head. But let them get you off somewhere by themselves. They'll show you whether they want their weave or not. Them, they just be saying all this. But we don't have to define ourselves to no man.
We really don't.
We don't have to define ourselves to no man. Whatever works for you and whatever makes you happy, that's you. That's me. I like weed. Some people like the nappy, kinky look. I don't like it. That's not for me. But take a guess what? Some women I see it on, it looks so pretty. These young girls, it's not for everybody. But a lot of the young ladies, it be so pretty on them. It be gorgeous on them. So that makes them look good. But I can't stand a man to come and try to tell you how to do your hair.
When they get rid of the shave off their heads, their hair and have these bald heads, they don't ask anybody. Regardless of how lopsided their head is, how out of shape their head is, they're going to shave their heads when they get ready, and they get no approval from anybody. They do whatever they want. If they want to drop their hands below their butts, they don't ask anybody. They just do it.
And when they get ready, they go and have sex, I bet you they ain't finna tell you now time to pull that weave off your head. stick that penis up in there. Because they ain't finna mess that ride up right there for nothing. They ain't gonna mess that up.
It's a part of insecurity, I think. It's just some of them have to have something to draw the attention from their insecurities. Because they really know that they should be doing more than what they're doing right now.
Putting us on the defense
about something as silly as hair. That's not the problem. Hair is not locking them up. Hair is not killing them. Hair is not doing injustices against them. Hair has nothing to do with any of the issues that are going on right now. Nothing.
And then also, this is the ironic thing today. Take this what my pastor preached about today. My pastor preached about today, women, fix yourself up and look good to your husband. Do not let yourself look unkempt. Fix yourself up. And him and his wife give marriage class. And they said the worst thing you can do is, you know what it took for you to get that man when you got with him. You know how you dressed up and fix yourself up. They said, but after you get married, which is true, because I know I have fell into that cave there. And when you fix yourself up, that goes a long way. Don't just go to bed every time you look up with a rag on your head. Don't fix yourself up no kind of way. And then men, when you don't upkeep yourself, they go and they start looking somewhere else. And the 9 times out of 10, the one they be looking at, that one that got that long weave on, them fake eyelashes. This is the truth. Them fake eyelashes, them fake fingernails, and got a face all made up. And that's the one they run off with.
I would say they do look for a woman that has at least one of those items.
Yes, at least one of them.
It may not necessarily be the weaves. It may be the nails. It may not be the nails. It may be the lashes or something. But men are attracted to a woman's outer appearance just like they're attracted to a woman's inner beauty. And some of them look more so at the outer appearance. That's what catches their eye. And then they may, begin to know a woman better, communicate with her and develop a relationship, and then they begin to see her inner beauty. But man, whereas like us as women, and let me welcome in Brother Brown too. Come on in, Brother Brown. How you doing? We have a male's perspective, so I know Brother Brown want to share something.
Yeah,
but like Brother Brown,
they look good.
Men look at our outer appearance. You know, they look at the booty, they look at the boobs. You know how men are, and the lips and all of that, and then they'll come over and start talking to you. And then
you're absolutely correct.
Substance to herself. You know, they want to make sure you're looking decent, you're looking nice. And Delta, I'm so glad that you mentioned that your pastor talked on that, spoke on that today, because there was some controversy about, what's his name, Stephen Curry's wife. Apparently she sent out a tweet and it received like over 20 something thousand likes,
and a lot of people didn't like it. I heard about it.
Yeah,
about what she liked it.
You want to share with her?
Go ahead.
Well, her tweet stated, let me just sum it up. So basically she tweeted that a lot of women are now showing all of their private parts, their parts that we should keep a little secret or save for someone. She said a lot of women are sharing and showing that versus keeping it covered for that special one. And she said, it's not me, or something like that. Maybe I can pull up her tweets later. But
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what she was saying. If she didn't want to show all, she didn't want all her flesh hanging out.
Right, and so people took it the wrong way, as if she was pretty
criticizing,
much
that's right.
Criticizing.
Well, she was stating facts.
And she didn't say anything about what they should do. She only stated her opinion. And everybody.
Yeah, she said that's not me. Yeah.
That's not her. And so, you know, they felt like she was being offensive to certain people, but
well,
you know,
some of them 300, but look, some of them 300 pound women. Now listen, now come on, now let's keep it real. I don't have no problem with nobody being heavy. I don't have no problem with overweight people or out of shape people. But some things, let's be for real now. You can go to a party or you can go to a store. You got some people who have some stuff on, don't need to be wearing it, and it looked like it's five sizes too small. They wearing these tight pants, these spandex tight, and you look like an elephant shape. This is true. They wearing all these little tight slick on stuff. This stuff is not for everybody. You got to have a special body to wear this stuff. And people try to go and mimic themselves after them Kardashian sisters. They don't realize Kim Kardashian and all them, all that is fake. All of it is
fake.
Surgery.
Fake. Let me read the tweet. Surgery. Yeah, for real. They all trying to look like us. For all these years, these people been talking about us, and now they're going to
Exactly.
They're risking
and full
death.
Lips, super cooler lips,
and taking extra rib bones out so that their waist can be, you know, have a curvy appearance like black women. Because I don't care.
Yeah, instead straight.
Some black women, they can be 450 pounds, but they still may have a curve.
Sure do.
In that waistline, amongst all that.
Sure do.
Some kind of way, they can, you know, pull out a curve in that waistline. So, but anyway. Stephen Curry, her name is Ayesha Curry. This is Stephen Curry. He plays for who, Golden Nuggets or somebody.
Yeah, he's the hottest player right now. He's the hottest new player.
He's the NBA MVP.
And what I like about him, what I really like about him, is he got one of us on his arm. And that's what makes me very happy about him.
Yeah. So, let's see. She tweeted, everyone's into barely wearing clothes these days, huh? Not my style. I like to keep the good stuff covered up for the one who matters. And let's see. People start saying, who's everyone? What's wrong with not being covered up? Are you saying that you're better than women who show off their figures? And all of this stuff. So she received a lot of backlash, and I think she tweeted something else. I was trying to find it, but anyway, basically that was her tweet, and so some of these women became offended
because they're walking around naked, half naked,
and you know what?
They are. They walking around. Well, I would like to ask Brother Brown a question. Brother Brown, as a man.
Would you like to see your woman walk around with all her breasts out and tight pants and tight clothes? As a man, would you like to see your woman walking around? Would you escort your woman on your own walking around like that? As a man, give me your point of view on it.
That doesn't interest me. When I see them young girls and women like that, regardless of what their age is or what their shape is, and they got clothes on that's not fitting, that really doesn't turn me on.
But would you take your woman out with like that?
No.
Is what she wants to know.
No, I wouldn't take her out. Because if I had a woman that dressed that provocative, then I wouldn't be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we, as African people, we had, at one point in time, we had a certain amount of class about ourselves. And I think that integration destroyed our class and how we carried ourselves. You know, and I always reiterate this thing about integration because I can remember years ago that black men did not even wear a pair of pants without a belt. Okay? It was essential
That's true.
Okay? There were some pants that were made that didn't have belt. They had what they call a continental waistband. But what you did is the pants were always tapered to fit the person. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this behavior, and I remember when they integrated the schools back in 1970, this is the way white boys wore their pants in school. They let the pants drop below their drawers. That is a behavior that we adopted from Europeans. The so-called provocative dress was the way that slushy white women used to operate. So a lot of this behavior we adopted from being, you know, and we don't look at the element of spirituality. The spirits transfer. If you hang around certain people for a certain period of time, you pick up their habit. And spiritually,
That's true.
And white people for so long, we pick up their behaviors and their habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading a book that they called The Chronology of the Bible by Dr. Penn. And when I was in Baltimore a week ago, I went to everyone's bookstore. And I bought about maybe $175 worth of books because I'm getting ready to start my school. And I'm coming from both angles. But in that book, Dr. Ben tells us how the behavior of our spirituality changed with the association of white people. And what I did, I got a few friends of mine that I thought was kind of broad-minded, and we were having a conversation. And I asked them one day, did they really know how many Bibles ever been printed? And they said, well, we ain't never seen but one Bible. And this is an element that most Christians don't understand. The King James Bible was not the first Bible, and it was not the only Bible. So what happened was that, and I'm not trying to get off track, we adopted what they taught us. And it's the same thing with this dress code and young men, black men, are putting earrings in their ear. I was looking at one of the sports shows today. Now, I was looking at the guy that won the Heisman Trophy last night, Derrick Henry, that plays for the University of Alabama. All of these white boys that was up there receiving awards, even the older guy that had won the Heisman, not one white male, not one, had an earring in his ear. You had old black players, football players, ex-football players who had won the hype. All of them got earrings in their ear. What in the hell is wrong with them? Do they know that when you, it's I read this in a book years ago. When a black male puts a hole in his ear, that was a sign of being enslaved.
Maybe they don't know that, though, Brother Brown. They may not know it.
Well, I know that. Because they learn. We tendency to get away from, you know, we used to say custom and practice. Years ago, mm-hmm. black males, you had a few that might put a tattoo on. But you did not have black males putting tattoos all over the goddamn body. Excuse my language. I look at these ball players today. 90% of professional ball players in any sport is African, that's black. They got tattoos. In some form of their body, they have a tattoo. And you know, I don't care about other people. It's just like we cannot have a culture of our own until we have to be homogenized into identifying what white people do.
Let's move. Hey, Brother Brown, hold. Let's stick with the topic of tonight, and we want to hear from you. What is your game changer for 2016? What is something different that you may do? It could be, are you going to change your eating? You're going to start walking a mile? You're going to write a book? You're going to start up a YouTube channel? You're going to meditate? What? You're going to spend more time with the ancestors? What can you think of, or have you already thought of some things that you would do differently in 2016 to become a more amazing version of yourself?
Well, I'm going to start this school and start teaching little kids African spirituality and helping them with what they learn in school, reading, math, and reading comprehension, because these are the areas that I have researched that our children are failing in, as well as teaching them who they are. And like I said, I spent over $200-some in books. I prepared to go ahead and get that moving, because we're losing a whole generation of children and nobody cares about. You know,
that's excellent.
Yeah, when I see it every day, it really hardens my heart, because churches are doing anything from that perspective. No so-called Negro organizations are doing anything from that perspective. They're doing a lot of talking. They're doing a lot of lip service. And the truth of the matter is our little kids are suffering at a larger rate. And I'm going to start a rites of passage program for black males and females.
So now what we want to do, Brother Brown, the way that we envision this is we will continue this topic as a series. And so I'm going to go back and remember and record what you stated, what Delta shared with us. Aja, I want to hear from you next. And then if our callers, 641-715-3660, and participant code 549-032, press pound. So that's call in 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-032. Press pound and then press *61 to share how you plan on changing your life in 2016. So Brother Brown, you said rites of passage and being an advisor or tutor to assist with the educational components of our children's lives.
And the African spirituality. We're getting ready to start a study group in Salisbury. What will consist of is adults and children.
For adults and children.
So they can be taught. They can be taught some of the things that I have learned over the years. And there's a lot of people who are looking for conscious teaching.
A lot of people.
And you know, there's an old saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yeah. Right.
So we're trying to get this thing moving, you know, to
the
degree
that. Don't say try and say you are, because you are doing it. I know you're gonna do it.
Yeah, and we're gonna move this thing forward, because you know the ancestors are pulling out their spirits upon us, and we're not receiving. And that's the most hurting thing for me that I see, you know, because we don't understand that the 12 signs of the zodiac were actually elements associated with ancient Kemet. And according to ancient Kemetic studies, we're in the last stage of the zodiac, which is Aquarius, which is pouring out of the water, which is libation. And if we're not able to understand that as African people, then we're lost. You know, we have to come into an agreement with ourselves of who we are based upon who our ancestors were. We're not Europeans and we're not Asian. The African, we came from a land called El Tabidon, the land of the spirit-filled people. And we need to get back to being spirit-filled people based on African spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you, Brother Brown. I love that game changer, because that's a game changer, not only for yourself, but for many others. And I have an idea. You know, I'm always full of ideas. I have an idea how you can expand that class so that it, your class can be interactive, the study group can be interactive, and people all around the world can participate. You can have a live stream Periscope. That way I can log in, Delta can log in, and Aja can log in. And we can all log in and take part of the study group no matter where we are. If we're sitting somewhere having coffee or if we're in the park, we can sit down and log in and still participate in the class. So I can help you get that started, Brother Brown.
That's great. Good idea. Touch more people.
Absolutely. If you want to expand to that point, Brother Brown.
So yeah, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So, Aja, what do you have? What's your game changer? Would you like to share? Any
of
pieces?
Course. Yes. I am going to think of my body in a different light. I've always been sort of body conscious, so forth, because I love to dance and I used to do exercises a lot more than I do now. But now I'm thinking of my body as this vehicle that my spirit has borrowed to allow me to visit this place they call Earth. And what I put into my body and how I take care of my body, that affects this to how richly I will live. So, I read this little thing about, how you consider your body like a car, was comparing it to a vehicle like a car, because this is a vehicle that we're all using. So, when you think of your body as a car, then, how you treat your car, how you take care of it, that affects the wear and tear, how the performance of the car. If it costs a premium, then you wouldn't put the regular gasoline, the fuel in there. You keep it well fueled, you check the oil, you know, you keep your body hydrated with water. You do preventive maintenance to keep things from happening. You do the same thing with your car. You check it every few months. You just make sure that this is the belts are tight and what have you. And so some people actually put more care into their car than they do their actual body. And so I'm going to look at my body like that, because I want to get as much good mileage out of it as possible. And sometimes we put things into our mouths because it tastes really good, but then it's only on our tongues for less than 5 minutes, you know, 2-3 minutes. You know, most people just get in them and then swallow. And it's in our organs for like 2 days, 3 days, sometimes weeks, depending on what we've eaten, and it's affecting our organs. So I'm going to shift my perspective of how I actually treat this vehicle that I'm using here while I'm visiting Earth. The second thing I am going to do, and that's going to involve a lot, which I'll get into more.
Aja, can we hold that one until we come back from break?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we'll hear Aja. Game changer.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network.
All right, and we are back here with us at the Lotus Place,
And Aja, share your 2016 game changer. How are you going to change in 2016 to become a more amazing version of yourself?
Yes. So that was my, that's my first. And one other thing I wanted to mention to everyone about, the body. The body relates, you know, each one of your chakras, your main chakras, the main seven ones that everyone talks about, relates to different organs of your body. So the root chakra relates to your physical body, the health of your body, how you treat your body, do you feel safe in your body? So the that has to do, that ties in with the root chakra, and to get the root chakra in line, once you get it in line, it flows better with all the other chakras. So that's a good starting point. Your root, your body, your root, your body, your physical
root
body,
and your body, your root and your body.
Okay. So the second thing is going to be more is for me, but it's also going to be for the community as well, because I want to take some courses. I've already started. I'm taking courses in natural healing.
Yes.
One of them is the Reiki course. Of course, I'm studying the chakra system and the gemstone. But there's so much healing that is natural. I mean, it won't just wipe it out in an hour, but look at the effects of the drugs that supposedly make you feel better. They feel they address the symptom, but not the true cause. So I want some natural healing that addresses the cause, so you won't have to keep going back treating the symptom. So that I'm really, really into. I've always been into natural healing. I've always,
yes.
I've found it so particularly interesting. That's where healing. That's where our ancestors did. They did. They were into natural healing. Everything out in nature, it's all out there. That's what they use in the chemical labs. They start with the nature, and then they mix it up with chemicals so it'll work real fast. But it all comes from the earth.
Yes, it does.
Like this,
that's why they
it always comes from the earth.
Natural seeds and medicinal plants in the Amazon. It's a shame that these people can't have their own, continue to use their own
seeds and
natural plants, because you have different countries coming over obtaining a patent for something that's natural. That makes no sense.
It's coming out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
that's
you have
crazy.
Another one, and then we'll bring Delta in to respond to her letters.
Okay.
Yes, I am ready. All right.
Okay, here's my here's another one. I'm going to pick back up on my writing my book series.
Ooh, I love your book series. You have to share like a sample from your book series. Yes, that'd be great. I love that. Okay, so writing and you have some spiritual and some health changes.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. Absolutely great. Love
and
it, love it, love it.
And I have one more I would like to add to my list too for next year. I would like to become a greater advocate for grandparents and foster care. With you know, with people fighting for their loved ones, people fighting for their family. I would love to be able to go and speak at different churches, different fair events, and tell people how they are doing now. You know, how they taking the kids, because a lot of people have no idea. When you tell them about this, people can't believe this go on.
Indeed.
And this, I would like to become more of a activist and really let people really know what's really, really going on with the kids.
And also let them know what steps they can take to
that is correct.
Keep this from happening to them.
Yes.
Since you have been there.
Yes, because
you have been there.
You absolutely correct. Because one thing I would like to put out over the air, one good thing I've learned.
always put this in a file. Always get your kids to give you a, put it in like a file, saying that if they ever got in any type of trouble with the law or with drugs or just anything happening, my mother and my father or whoever have the right to come take solely custody of my child. And it need to be in writing. If you have that piece of paper in writing, you can step in right away. That's a piece of paper you need in your file.
Notarized. Yeah, notarized.
And in your file. Only of an event that something happened. They need to come, be able to come and step forth right away. That's something, a paper that need to be on file at all times.
So that's we would suggest that people, when they finish listening tonight, Delta, they need to write that down, even if it's just handwritten. Write that down tonight. I love that.
Yeah,
cause see,
that's some
I
good advice. And you wouldn't think of that.
And see, I learned that. I'm fighting for my grandkids. That was one of the things that I learned. If that would have been in my file, I could have stepped forth right away.
Well, let me help you with that. One of the most powerful. Because see, once these kids are placed in foster care, okay, that letter's not going to make any difference. What people need to understand is that when you have family members that are in that situation, you get a power of attorney over them. That's what's going to make the difference. You get a power of attorney that will give you the right to these children. If you don't have power of attorney, the state will take your children once they're in foster care.
When do you get power of attorney? Before it happens or after it has happened?
Before. Anybody can have power of attorney. It can be notarized. That's a notarized statement taken that I have total control over this person's affairs.
I mean, but at what point do you do it? I mean,
let me tell you what. Go ahead, brother.
Let me finish my statement right now. You can have power of attorney over all Asher's affairs, and Asher can have power of attorney over all your affairs.
Okay. So nothing needs to happen. Okay.
Nothing needs to happen. Once you get it, if anything does happen, you just produce the.
Okay.
I just have a question. I can still be of sound body and mind and still have someone that has power of attorney over my affairs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got power of attorney over my mother-in-law. I have power of attorney over her affair, and she's married.
That's what we have Brother Brown for, our legal eagle. And Brother Brown, we also need to When you get yourself situated and together, we need to have ask Brother Brown, the legal eagle. People may have a legal question.
That is so true.
Yeah, in certain days they can call in and we'll read their letters. So thanks, Brother Brown, for sharing that. That's important. Delta, you ready for your question? Go ahead, Brother Brown.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready. Delta.
Go ahead, Brother Brown. Then we'll go ahead on to Delta's letters.
Huh? I'm finished.
Okay.
I just want to out there so people will know that one of the most element tools that we have, and it really doesn't cost a whole lot, you get that power of attorney, you get it notarized, you take the papers to a notary. You don't have to take them to an attorney. You take the papers to a notary, and once you get it notarized, it's a legal document.
It's a legal document.
Court can't do anything with
it. Okay.
All right,
then.
Good to know.
Thank you so much, Brother Brown. And here we go. As Delta Cougar. Yeah. All right. Delta Cougar. I love
you
that.
You can call in and ask Delta Cooper your questions about love, relationships, sex, money, just whatever you want to ask Delta about. In this particular, we have another young lady, Delta.
Okay.
And this young lady wants to know. Now, she says she's a Southern girl just like you, so she can relate to a lot of what you're sharing, a lot of the advice. So this inspired her to write in, hearing your advice that you share and give to women, and particularly in how to keep yourself up. I'm just going to, like, summarize her letter for the sake of time. So this is a young lady. She's 27. And she said she's been pretty sheltered all her life. Her husband is her high school sweetheart. And they've been married for 8 years. Okay. No. They've known each other for 8 years. They've been married now for 2 years. Okay. So she said that her husband wants her to dress a little more sexy. He wants her to wear makeup. She doesn't wear makeup because she said, like you, Delta, she comes from out of a church of God of Christ, and women didn't really wear a lot of makeup. Well, she was raised by her grandmother, and so she didn't wear a lot of makeup, and she basically wears just kind of plain Jane dresses and clothes. And she said her husband sometimes wants her to dress up a little more sexy, even if it's just walking around the house, and put on makeup, and she said also stilettos. And he once asked her, would she put on a wig so that they could play, like a game? So she says she admits, Delta, that she's a little bit of a prude, but she wants to know from one Southern belle to the other, what should mm-hmm. she do? She doesn't want to lose her husband because she heard mm-hmm. you or someone say that what you won't do at home, another woman will. So what should she do, Delta?
Well, I think she should do whatever it takes. And putting a wig on and stilettos, that's not going to hurt anything. Because what you do in your home, it's your own business. It's not nobody
yeah.
else's business. Only only the way her business will get out of her home, unless she take it out of there. Because 9 times out of 10, the husband, the man never takes it out of the household. It's mostly the woman that takes the gossip about what goes on inside the home. So if he wants her to wear a little makeup and walk around and look sexy, there's nothing wrong with that. Just because you put a little makeup on and put a wig on, that do not mean that you're going to lose your relationship with God. And see, we was taught years ago that if you put on makeup and lipstick, you mm-hmm. be going to hell. But you are not going to hell because you put on makeup and lipstick. And I don't see anything wrong with her putting makeup on, eyeshadow, whatever it takes to make yourself look beauty, really beautified to your husband, look really gorgeous to your husband. I don't see anything wrong with it. So I think she should do whatever it takes and get you some stilettos, get you a whip, whatever it takes. Because if you don't do it, somebody else gonna do it. And I would like to add something else because I remember, and this is a true story, my mother pastor, he had a wife, and when they got together, you know, she was probably a little smaller than what she was. But she had got to the place she wouldn't fix herself up. My mother's name passed away. She would come to church in a dress in combat boots. Like combat boots, the boots that you lace. Like, no, this is true. Boots like you used to lace. And
mm-hmm.
even my brother that was gay, he even told her, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop dressing like that. Stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Fix
mm-hmm.
yourself up. So lo and behold, the lady wouldn't do it.
Mm.
And when we knew anything, the preacher was seeing another woman and ran off with a younger girl. and the younger girl did not dress nothing like the white. She was dressing what he liked and what he was trying to get his wife to do. And he was also trying to get his wife to do our sex. I must say that. The preacher was trying to get his wife to do our sex. Mm-hmm. And even she asked my brother and them, what should she do? And my brother told her, whatever it takes, do it. And she didn't do it. She lost her husband. And she lost her husband. Because really, if you saw the way the woman didn't fix herself up, the woman looked like an old hag.
Oh,
but she was really,
goodness.
No, but really, she was a young woman. I'm older than her. I'm older than her.
And she
when
was
I dressed up out of my house, people ask me, where you going? I'm going to the grocery store. When I get up in the morning time, when I hit the floor, I put my makeup on, lipstick on.
Yes,
I just believe in keeping myself up. And I, a lot of times, if you go to my Facebook page, I'll post one today. I post one today, and I looked at myself. And I told myself, I said, ooh, you're such a sexy woman to have 13 grandchildren. You got to
know this.
Yeah. You got to feel good about yourself. And, and if you feel good about yourself, you don't need a man to tell you when to fix up, what to wear, and what to do. You will do it for yourself. So being in the church, that's not going to make her feel less sexy or anything. Fix yourself up, because preachers get freaky too, just like the young
ones. Yeah, they're men.
Fix yourself up and get yourself looking good and put your high heels on and walk around in your red panties, your red high heels, your red bra, and I don't see anything wrong with it. What goes on in the house stays in the house.
Yeah. I think Aja would like to also offer a comment to your response to this letter. Aja, Mother Zola.
Yes, I wanted to add a comment based on some information that we had talked about when you want to spice up your relationship, add a little fun to your bedroom, and one of those tips was to do role playing, and that's dressing up, putting on your heels, putting on some cologne, put on a wig. Men like variety. They like the, you know, for you to spice it up. Give yourself another name. Call yourself something different when you're like that. Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed at how happy, and it's part of foreplay. Make it part of foreplay. That will really, really get him excited. And I think it's a great idea. I think that if she does that, she will probably find that she will open up a little bit. She may find that she likes some things that she didn't know that she liked.
Yeah, maybe she can play a role like as a kitty cat. You know, I'm the little demure, afraid kitty cat. Let's ask from a male perspective, and then we'll move on to your second letter, Delta Cougar. Brother Brown, from a male's perspective, did you hear the letter and Delta's response? Do you agree? Or do you have something to add to that response?
I think that has a lot to do, especially when you've been in a relationship for a long time. And a lot of women don't want to change from the day that they, you know, like when the kids grow up and the kids get gone and grown, you know, there's nobody left between your mate. So whatever y'all do together to keep the relationship, once you let the flame die, the fire gonna go out. And if you gotta do something to keep the fire going, and that's what it takes, then by all means do it. Because, you know, I have a friend of mine right now, he had cancer. And, you know, he's never been in a long term relationship with one woman. And now that he's sick, he needs companionship. And he's been dating a woman that's living with another man for 4 years, and he gave her an alternative method, not helping him get his Social Security. He's stable. He got his own apartment. He got 2 cars. He has an income. He doesn't have to work. So he's looking for, you know, he's telling this lady, you know, I mean, I've been with you, dealing with you for 4 years. I need somebody stable in my life right now. She doesn't want to leave the man she's staying with for financial reasons because they're on the same car. But when you get a certain age, you need somebody in your corner. Mm-hmm. And whatever it takes to keep that relationship, keep the fire going and keep that spark flaming, then that's what you do. And like Mother Dunham said, it doesn't have to be exposed to people outside of the home. You know, that's between you and your mate, you and your wife, you and your girlfriend. That's what keeps y'all happy. And people need to realize that, you know.
Because
you only live on this earth one time, and you make the best of it while you're here.
Make the best of it. Carpe diem. Live life to the fullest. Okay. I love it. I love it. Hey, Delta, you have another letter?
Okay.
And I know you can handle this one. This is a good one. Perfectly designed for you. Okay, this is another young woman. I'm glad to see the young sisters writing in. We would like for the young brothers to call in too, because she can speak to the men as well. Then we always have Brother Brown, or Brother Kent, or maybe even sometimes Brother Scotty can jump in and offer a comment for some of the brothers. I can too. Anyway, so this Sister Delta, she writes to you. This is PJ. PJ, she says she's a northern girl married to a southern man. No, she's dating this southern guy. And he keeps saying, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. However, Delta Cougar, she does not know how to cook. She said being from up north, she generally picks up food, takes it home. Mm. So she doesn't really cook. And let's see here. And he wants her to start cooking for him because he said he doesn't mind taking them out to eat all of the time. However, he would like to sometimes maybe bring some groceries over and she can cook and they can cook together. But she said sometimes he just wants a home cooked meal and she doesn't know how to cook. And right. So she said, what should she do? Because he has proposed to her.
Oh.
And she said he has proposed to her and he wants to be able to purchase a new home for their family. And so this is a way for them to save money. So she said it's not just about him wanting her to cook for him. He actually wants to consider them saving the money going out to eat every time they go on a date. So that he could save some extra money for their new home. Delta, what should she do?
Well, all she has to do is go on YouTube. It's no excuses anymore. She can go on YouTube and look at videos, and it would tell her how to cook. She can even Google recipes. It will give her step by step.
Sure will. And
it will give her step by step. It's no excuse. All she got to do is have the mind and willing to do it.
That's true.
Because you can go in the kitchen and experiment with a lot of stuff on cooking. You can experiment when he's not even around.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the most important thing of all is go and get you some recipes. Get you some books. Else go take you a class. Because there come a time a man do want a good home-cooked meal. There are times, you know, it's all right going out to dinner. Because I can give you a perfect example. Because when my boys got grown, well, when they was teenagers, we started going out to dinner a lot. And the boys told me we had got where we was financial able. We could go out a lot. And the boys said they got tired of going out to eat. Who would ever think teenage boys would get tired of going out to eat?
Wow.
That's how often we had went out. We would go out so much, the kids just got tired of it. So there are times kids and husbands, people want to sit back home and throw their feet up and relax and eat and belt and burp and have a good time at home.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can cook and show a man you can cook, that's real
mm-hmm.
good. There's nothing wrong with it. She just got to get with it and go and take her some classes. Go and take some classes. That's
mm-hmm.
no excuse. Now you take my papa. I don't cook at all anymore. I rarely cook. Now my papa, he loves to cook. He does all the bacon and cakes and everything. Like today when I came home from getting me a little Jesus in me, when I came home, Papa had 3 slabs of ribs cooked. He had cabbage.
Oh,
he had canned yams. And, you know, Papa just be having to work.
Oh,
and people
yes,
always.
Papa does. I have witnessed that. Brother Brown, you
Papa
too.
Papa have pound
cakes. Oh, my God. Pound cakes galore. Just like,
when yeah, when I met Papa, I was wearing a size 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm up in a 14.
Cakes
Papa, Papa cooked all the time. He cooked every type of cake you know. He cooked every type of cake you want to see. He loved
oh my
cook.
Goodness! Yeah.
So cooking is nice. It's nothing wrong
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, let me give her a quick recipe. Look, make some cabbage. Go online, get you a recipe for some baked chicken. Use cream of mushroom soup, a can of that on top of that chicken. Make sure you put your onions and all that around that chicken, onions and bell pepper, and season it. And now that's really, really good.
And the number one key to Black Rose, the number one key
what?
Is get her a crock pot.
Get your
get
crock
her
pot.
A
yes.
crock pot and get you a roast. Rinse that roast off, season it up,
mm-hmm.
get you some whole potatoes, carrots, and put up in there, and get you a can of cream of mushroom, and add you one
mm-hmm.
can of water, and that's it.
And that's
and
it.
Let it cook. Yeah. And let it cook slow.
Right. Just let it cook, and you can eat off of that a couple of days. Take some baked fish and put some lemons and butter and onions on top of it. Pop it in the oven, season it good. I like to use Old Bay season on my salmon. When I bake salmon, oh my God, that just does it. Put that lemon on top of there and onion, and you can use your little spat of butter. Yes.
That sounds good. It's
and
got nice, good little recipes you can do.
Yes. You know what? Maybe we can, next time we'll share another recipe for.
You know what? You gave me a perfect idea, Black Rose. I need to be ready to give a quick recipe every night.
Yes, a quick recipe. A really cute. Oh, I have a quick recipe. I have a quick recipe that I can share. It's from my raw food. Recipes because I'm going raw in 2016. That's one of my game changers. So raw fudge. I love fudge. I love brownies. You can make this in 1 minute with cocoa. I think it's like 2 tablespoons of cocoa, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, and 1 tablespoon of honey. Stir it up, and then you have instant fudge. And it's raw fudge. No eggs, no milk, all of that. And it's good for you. It's healthy. Coconut oil, honey. That's my little recipe. Delta, we want one of those good Mississippi recipes, though, when we come back. When will we be back, Delta? What's the date? Sunday?
I have a recipe.
You have a recipe?
That's it. It's time to go.
It's time to go. You can share it with us when
we
come back.
We will be back Wednesday night.
Okay. All right. Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.